50-plus years after the release of this song, the Stones are still at it, of course. Many of you know they had their first new, completely new studio album. When was that released? A few months back. And they just started another tour. They're on tour. They hit Houston the other night. Welcome back. Gord Miller standing by along with Andy Bennett and John Still, Mitch Melnick until 6 o'clock last night in Boston.
Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, having the time of my life out there. It's a place I've played a lot of big games, and to come in here and play the Bruins in an elimination game is pretty special. So, you know, I thought from, you know, the drop of the puck, our team just had a different level of urgency and, made me confident back there.
Joseph Wall.
Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, having the time of my life out there.
Now I have the time of my life.
That's an Andy Bennett production, Gord. How you doing?
I'm so happy you played that.
I'm not sure how I'm doing after that. I'm a little rattled, to be honest.
This is just another peek into the brain that is Andy Bennett.
Have I seen Dirty Dancing just a few too many times? Because that was immediately what I thought of.
I've never seen it.
Gord.
But wait a minute. Blair hasn't seen it?
I'm pretty sure she hasn't. I know I haven't. There's a long list of you know, famous movies that I have not seen.
Because you're
almost
so busy.
All romantic comedies.
All rom-coms. Yes.
Dirty Dancing is more than a romantic comedy.
Is it?
Oh, my goodness.
Never seen Ghosts.
Neither have I.
Oh,
so this is like a Patrick Swayze thing. You just dislike Patrick Swayze.
What are you guys, dead inside?
Easy now. Relax.
Take it down. Maybe I called the wrong station.
No, they're anything but dead in Toronto. Wow. We know that scoring has been the issue, but they also need saves occasionally, and they sure got it at the right time last night from Joseph Wall.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, for Wall, you know, a big deal for a guy who played a lot of college hockey in that building. I think, the series wasn't that one-sided. I mean, the Leafs had played well at times through the first four games. I've always thought that, and I'll have to find this out, but I always think that coming back from 3-1 down is easier for the team that is the lower seed. The hardest game to win is game 5 in the other team's building. They got a chance to close you out, and most teams do it. But if you can win that one, now you come home for 6, you got some momentum. If you win that, I don't think there's home ice advantage for the home team in game 7. I think they're reeling, and the visiting team has the advantage in game 7.
It's interesting you say that. I was thinking about, you know, we got lucky here in the playoffs where there hasn't been a cup since 93, but down 3-1 to the Bruins a couple of times, they came all the way back. You worked that Washington game in the spring of 2010, that series, right?
Yeah.
That was, and I'll tell you what, the Bruins full marks, but I don't think the Bruins team today is as talented as that Washington team was. And look what happened.
They're not as good as the team that blew a 3-1 lead last year to Florida.
Yeah, they lost their top two centers.
Yeah, so, but anyway, a long way to go yet. Boston's a very good team, but it's interesting that, you know, how things go. I mean, you look at that crazy Winnipeg-Colorado, you know, game 1, and then the Avalanche just put the throttle down and take it over.
They obliterated the Jets.
And they obliterated the guy who's going to run away with the Vezina Trophy vote.
Yeah,
we don't vote on that. The GMs do. But that's going to be, I mean, I got to think Hellebuck gets 29, 30 first-place votes.
Yeah, no question.
If he's not unanimous.
It's going to be awkward. And look, it was a team-wide breakdown, but he didn't make enough saves.
He made the most saves in the playoffs and allowed the most goals, which tells you that Winnipeg gave up way too many chances.
I want to go back to Toronto and Boston, Gord. Like, you're there. You live there. You've lived there for years. I mean, it was like almost everybody had them dead and buried. Are people allowing themselves to get caught up in a possible comeback like of this magnitude, or it's just delaying the inevitable?
I think, first of all, thinking that all Leaf fans speak with one voice. I mean, no team's fan base speaks with one voice. I mean, there are the fanatics who, you know, there was a funny thing in the Beaverton. I think it said, you know, Leaf fan who was convinced they were going to be swept after game one loss, now convinced they're going to win the cup after game two win. I think that, you know, some people have trepidation, some people are on the bandwagon and fully believe, and everyone's different. I just think it's, you know, last night was a really good game. You watch it, and I mean, it could have been, the series could have been 2-2. I guess there's a lot of feeling about that, but it probably could have been 2-2, and it wasn't. So, but there's obviously the history here of what's happened, and that becomes part of the narrative, but that really has nothing to do with these players. A lot of them, Joe Wolf has nothing to do with it, really. He made his playoff debut last year. So I find all that history stuff interesting because I don't think that's how players think. It's how fans and media think.
Sheldon, with the way your guys asserted themselves and the fact that you're making the Bruins take a road trip they don't want to take, do you feel you put some pressure towards their side with this win?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what you want to do, right? You want to build positive momentum your own way. And, yeah, you want to make them be uncomfortable.
I think that was Chris Johnston asking that question to Sheldon Keefe. So what about it from a Bruins perspective, considering it's exactly a year ago that they started to blow that 3-1 lead to the Panthers?
They're the better team. Like, it's funny. Like, if the Bruins win the series, it's not an upset. They are better than Toronto. But, you know, the better team doesn't always win. And if Matthews comes back healthy, I mean, and for the Leafs to win in Boston without one of the NHL's best players, a guy who's going to be, you know, a guy who's going to be in the MVP top five, probably, isn't incredible. So, I think that's what you want to do, right? I mean, you got, winning that game in their building, that fifth game in their building, is really hard. That's the one that is tough to win, and most teams don't. Once you do that, all bets are off.
It's not as if you look at it from just a, like, taking a step back, like if you look at it from a Montreal perspective, let's say the Canadiens are in the first round against the Bruins, and you know, Cole Caulfield misses the first two games with whatever was dealing with, what William Nylander was dealing with, and Nick Suzuki misses a pivotal closeout game, and you're able to win two out of those five games. It's not horrific for a team that I think, Gord, for people from the outside like myself that love to, you know, just talk about the fact that it just feels like they don't necessarily have the character to win. They've showed a little bit more this first round than I was expecting outside of those 40 minutes in game four.
You know, it's funny because I don't actually blame the players. I think the players play hard. They've been very productive. If I have a quibble with Toronto, it's the way the team's constructed. And that's got nothing to do with the players. It to me is built somewhat upside down. It's top heavy in forwards when a team should be built from the defense out. We've talked about this 1,000 times on this show, but you know, when you look at the history of Stanley Cup champions in the cap era, with the exception of Carolina in 06, every single one of them's had a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman. Every single one. And Toronto doesn't.
Well, how about this one for the players then? Can you explain 0-6 at home?
Yeah, it's hard. That's a tough one to explain. Part of that is, I mean, when I look at teams like power play at home and the road, there is sort of a randomness to it. I don't think that's, you know, it starts to become a trend, but it's hard to figure with them. It's hard to figure out why they're better on the road than at home because the matchups, right? And now, Boston's matchups aren't, like, if it was Florida and they were getting a steady, and their top line was getting a steady diet of Barkov and Reinhart, that'd be a different story. And that's what happened to Tampa. Barkov and Reinhart basically destroyed them.
Do you think Tampa can pick up the pieces and be ultra competitive again, or is that done?
Well, really, I mean, they've paid a horrendous price. I mean, a price, by the way, they're glad to pay. They won back-to-back Stanley Cups. They've been, you know, the NHL's best team for the last decade. But you trade away those picks to bolster your lineup, and the cap eats away at you. And you keep losing key players, and that's what they want. Whether they say it or not, that's what the NHL wants. Because the hard cap just eventually just squeezes you out. And Tampa's depth is gone. Look at all the great Tampa players who are scattered around the league that they would love to have kept. And look at the guys that, you know, look at the picks they've had to give up to get guys. I mean, you know Tanner Janot and a host of other guys that they've made deals for to try to win. And eventually it hollows you up. It's going to happen to everybody. It'll happen to Colorado. It'll happen to Vegas. It happens to everyone.
It happened to Chicago. It's happening to Pittsburgh with Gordon Miller.
Chicago, once Taves and Kane signed those extensions at $10.5 million, they never won another playoff series.
We talked about Colorado demolishing Winnipeg. They're going to play the winner of Dallas and Vegas. And Carolina knocking off the Islanders, to nobody's surprise. So it's going to be Carolina and the Rangers, which led to this tweet earlier today by Larry Brooks. Brooksy, it is patently ridiculous for a league to design a playoff format in which the team with the best record over the 82-game season would play the team with the third-best record in the second round of the playoffs. Agree or not?
Well, they're in the same division. I don't know. Like, what do you want to do? Like, do you want to have 1-16? You can't do that. Like, 1-16 playoffs are not practical. It can't be done.
Because?
Travel, TV start times. It doesn't make any sense. You want to have the Rangers play the LA Kings the first round?
No, of course not.
Well, then. So, now, if you want to go to more conference playoff, you can. But, you know, again, this is a ticket-driven league, primarily. And rivalries sell tickets. Right? Think about what's the hottest ticket in Montreal.
Yeah, it's Toronto-Boston.
Then?
Well, as someone who hasn't had to pay for a ticket for a long time.
Right. But their divisional opponents.
Oh, Ottawa? Right?
Hey, Ottawa, like, I did an Ottawa-Montreal game this year. It was pretty lively at the Bell Centre that night. Like, for two teams out of the playoffs, like, all I'm saying is, for a lot of markets, in the States especially, they don't care if Anaheim and those teams ever come in the East. They don't care if they ever – and that, if that means you don't get Colorado and you don't get Edmonton, that's fine too. Because the games that sell tickets in Boston are the Canadiens, the Leafs, the Rangers, right, those Eastern teams. But if you're going to have a division-heavy schedule, you've got to have playoffs tilted towards divisions. And by the way, okay, one plays three. When did you want to play a bad team in the playoffs?
No, that's you're getting to right. My point. I don't agree with that, Gord, but we get it every year, and it's almost like Larry Brooks is bracing himself and Rangers fans for, listen, they may not get out of the second round even though they won the President's Cup. In fact, most teams that win the President's Cup don't do much.
It's the President's Trophy. The President's Cup is a golf.
Okay, President's Trophy. Oh, my God.
Easy now.
Gord.
Why did you guys fire me? Like, seriously.
No.
Why haven't you? Why
no, but I'm wondering why.
We don't control that, number one.
But the reason why,
Why don't the people in charge? Okay, so the boss is probably Chris
in Toronto. Right, yes, our boss is in Toronto. He's closer to you than he is to me.
Okay, so tell him to stop bending paper clips and do the right thing and fire me, for God's sake.
No, the President's Cup is because you know where the President's Cup is. It's coming up, and we keep hearing the commercials for it. But no, I think it's a useless moot point every year when people complain about a really good team is going to get knocked out early.
Yeah.
It's not fair. That's the way it is. In order to win the cup, you're going to be the best team in the National
Hockey
League. And
there's a lot of good teams in the playoffs now. Like, you know, Washington's not very good. You know, they were the last team in. They had, like, minus 37 goal differential. Fair enough. You know, but who are the bad teams in the playoffs? Like Dallas is, you know, Dallas is playing Vegas in the first round.
It is such a weird argument, though, because it's like, you're going to get a good team knocked out early by this team that they would have faced later in the tournament anyways. So I don't get that argument. Like, if the team's that good, then they'll survive whatever that matchup is. So it's weird.
If you win that series, you might get the Florida Panthers. Are they easy? Like, I don't know, like... I keep looking for these easy outs in the playoffs. I don't see a lot of them.
Now, I will say that for the first round of the playoffs, Gord, this has been kind of a dud. No? Like this first round? Again, it's cyclical. We'll see how it turns out next year or the years again. But
yeah, not over yet. So the hockey's been really good. But yeah, it hasn't had. But I mean, look, it's, you know, last night Nashville climbed off the mat in Vancouver. And all of a sudden you think, oh, wait a second here. You know, what's going to happen there? Can Toronto come back against Boston? I mean, there's all kinds of – that Dallas-Vegas series has been unbelievable.
Yeah, that's it. It continues tonight.
It's been terrific.
I flipped that on the other night. I was like watching it on Fast Forward. I'm like, oh, my God. When do they stop?
Here's another question that begins with when. When do we find out who's on Team Canada for the World Hockey Championship? Like, has it normally taken this long to fill out a roster?
Well, the preliminary rosters, they've announced about 7 or 8 guys. So I think probably, I mean, they know who the guys are, but probably by the weekend, they'll announce the first 14 or 15. Now, some teams are out now, so they can start looking at them. But, I mean, they got some pretty good commitments so far, so.
Should Canada have taken the same approach as the U.S. and sort of, you know, fired the shot across the bow where it's like, if you don't put your hat in the ring for this, you're not going to be on the Olympic team?
Well, what Bill Guerin said, and I talked to Billy afterwards, what he said was that if you're a guy who wants to play in that Four Nations, whatever that thing is next year, or the Olympics, then you should probably play in the World Championship.
You were going to say Four Nations Cup, weren't you?
No. I was going to say debacle, like whatever that thing
it
is.
It did used to be called the Four Nations Cup, though, did it not?
Well, yes.
Thank you.
No, no. That was a different sport.
It's a different sport.
Oh, it was a
It's a Four Nations face-off now.
Yeah, but
face-off.
Okay.
It was a Four Nations Cup in women's hockey.
Ah, perhaps that's what I'm thinking of.
So, not to be confused with the President's Cup, which is golf tournament, which Mitch now knows.
Come full circle.
I'm trying to get fired. I'm hoping by the end of this show, I am fired.
Yeah, you don't want to join us when you're into the wine in Prague, do you? Huh?
Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons, but that wouldn't be one of them. I think what Bill was saying is, you know, if you're a young player who hasn't had a lot of, you know, beyond the World Junior, a lot of international exposure, you should play in the World Championship. Now, I've added, you know, it's been very hard for the United States to get top players to go, which is odd because they have the National Team Development Program in Plymouth, Michigan, which pours millions of dollars into developing basically the best 40 American players. Like, how about giving something back? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't want to go, but if you don't want to go, fine, but give something back.
And by the way, since I harped on it to both you and Mike Johnson, I mentioned this when I saw it, but I'm going to back off my criticism now on Nick Suzuki saying no to Team Canada because he just proposed to his longtime girlfriend on the beach in the Dominican Republic. So that's,
oh, nice.
That's why he said no.
See, Annie, I'm not dead inside. That was nice.
Nice actually came out sarcastic the way you said it.
You know what? If they make a movie about Nick Suzuki and his fiance running down the beach in the DR, I'll go watch it.
I'm starting to understand why these romantic expectations that were set in our minds from these movies watched at a very impressionable age are not being realized in real life here.
Okay,
they're movies, Andy.
What about
movies?
What about
they're not real? Do you think that starships fly around the galaxy blowing each other up? No, they don't.
Well, you don't know.
I mean,
you don't know
dream.
For sure that they don't. You don't know for sure that they don't.
That'd be a hell of a wrong.
We wouldn't get the news in another galaxy.
You think a guy's flying around New York in a with a cape like saving like they're movies?
Eat, Pray, Love. Have you seen that one?
No, God, no.
Okay, wait. What's the movie that every time you say to people, I haven't seen it, they step back in shock?
Old School.
Eh.
Surprises people. I've only seen one Star Wars movie.
Well, that's one more than I've seen.
Never been to a Marvel. I've not seen any of the Marvel movies. Like, I've not seen any of those.
Neither have I.
So I'm not really a comic book.
That's yeah. Not like a classic. Book,
that's not classics. Person. I'm talking like, you know, oh, you're like, Casablanca, what's seen? That?
A classic movie I've not seen? I'm trying to think. There was a few years where I didn't see the Academy Award winner for Best Picture.
Well,
but
I think you're perfectly reasonable, Gord Miller, to not watch all these rom-coms.
No, if you would have
said like, if you would have said like The Godfather, I would have been no.
I took a date. Okay, so I took a date to the Julia Roberts one, Pretty Woman.
Yes.
I'm like, well, there is a realistic depiction of prostitution. That's exactly what it's like.
Well, you have to. It's called suspension of disbelief,
what's
Gord.
What's happening?
Suspension of disbelief? Come on.
Gord's all about hyper-realism. The more hyper-realist, the better.
So I did 1 year, and the circumstances were hilarious, but I went with a buddy of mine to see The Unforgiven, the Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gene Hackman.
Yeah, yeah.
Gore Fest. On Christmas Day.
Oh, my.
I once took a date to Schindler's List on Valentine's Day.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
It's a great, it's a great Seinfeld episode about that.
I swear to God. We went to Schindler's List. I took her to Schindler's List on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Did you guys see each other again after that?
Well, a couple times, yeah.
It may have
taken her a while for it to dawn on her what she was really in for. So let me get this straight: you travel all the time, and then you do that when you're more difficult at home than when you're on the road. Yeah, no thanks.
Well, enjoy as I know you will the road trip, and we'll talk to you next week. Well, thank you as always.
Yeah, well, I'll be in Prague next week.
I know that's why I'm saying it. I know. I wish I was going with you.
I promise. Will I be fired by then?
No.
No.
Not even close.
Well, we're going to turn up loaded on Pilger or Kel next week.
Please do.
Get it done.
Please do. We will be back with Aaron Ward coming up next.